monitor there.
Morning, everyone. Good to see you this morning.
Now, tell me, who are these people? The groan goes round. Who are they? The chap is Rishi Sunak, and the lady is Liz Truss. And what are they doing? Someone said arguing. Yeah, spot on. That's the point. They're arguing. We've seen a lot of that recently, haven't we? Arguing. We've got lots and lots of problems in our country at the moment. And so the politicians, the people who want to be our prime minister, like these two, they argue about the best way to fix all the problems that we have in our country. Well, as they walked along, as Jesus, Peter, James and John rejoined the other nine disciples, Jesus came along and he said to the nine of them, "What are you arguing about?" The disciples were arguing. Well, why did they argue? Why did they argue? Well, a man in the crowd spoke up. "I brought my boy to you, Jesus. He's possessed by a spirit that stops him speaking. It throws him to the ground. It makes him foam at the mouth. It makes him grind his teeth and his whole body becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to help him to cast out the spirit, but they could not. And now they're arguing." You see, the disciples had tried everything they knew to try and help this boy. Perhaps they chanted some Bible verses over him. Perhaps they thought they had a special Hebrew saying with special Harry Potter-like magical power. Perhaps they anointed him with oil. They tried all sorts of things. Nothing worked. Nothing helped him. And so, in the end, they just argued and bickered because they were powerless to drive out the evil that had overpowered the boy and was destroying his life. And so Jesus says to them, "Oh, you unbelieving people, how long shall I stay with you?" What is he saying? He's saying, how long will it take for you to see who I am? How long shall I put up with you? How long will you go on refusing to believe in me? Bring the boy to me. And you can sort of sense a bit of frustration, can't you, in Jesus there? So they bring the boy to Jesus, away from the crowd. And as soon as the evil spirit sees Jesus, it knows who Jesus is. And it throws the boy on the ground again, making him foam at the mouth. Now, just imagine for a moment how frightening, how scary that was for the boy and for his parents, for his dad. "He's been like this since he was little," says his dad. "Sometimes he's even thrown him into the water or into fire to try and kill him." And then dad looks at Jesus and says, "If you can do anything, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." Can Jesus do anything? The disciples couldn't. The religious teachers couldn't. Faced with this evil, everyone else was completely and utterly powerless. So the boy's dad turns to Jesus. He's his last hope. He's desperate. "If you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," says Jesus, "if you can. Everything is possible for him who believes." "Oh, I do believe," says Dad. I do believe, but help me with my unbelief." And then Jesus sees the crowd all coming towards him. So he rebuked the evil spirit in the boy. He told it off. "You deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." Well, the spirit wasn't very happy about this. And he behaves a bit like a grumpy teenager, slamming bedroom doors and things like that. It makes the boy shriek and shakes the boy violently, and then he comes out. The boy then looked so much like a dead body that most of the people looked at him and said, "Huh, he's dead now, isn't he? Fat lot of good that was, Jesus. You killed him." But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him up, and he stood up. Oh, I've missed that on my PowerPoint there, haven't I? Jesus took him by the hand, raised him up, and he stood up. It's a wonderful outcome then, isn't it, for the boy and for his dad. Evil had controlled and destroyed the boy's life, but people tried, but they couldn't help him. No one could help him except Jesus. And as the dad comes to Jesus, evil is overpowered and driven out. Fantastic! But in a moment, we'll see that what Jesus did for the boy has amazing and wonderful implications for you and for me today. In fact, for the whole world today. But before we get on to that next bit, we're going to sing again. We're going to sing about the power of Jesus, who defeats all the powers of evil, even death itself. So let's stand up and let's sing together. So, think back for a moment about the boy who was overcome by evil. What did we see in him? Well, we saw a boy who was robbed of speech, who was foaming at the mouth, who was thrown around, who was unable to live a full life. And at the end of it, he looked like a dead body. That was all. And here in that boy, what we see is a mini picture of the whole world and of our lives. So, let's see. Now, here we are, picture of the whole world. Well, it's not quite the whole world, but it's how we like to think of the world as being a fruitful, lovely, sunny, blue sky place. But, of course, the reality is not quite like that, is it? What are some of the problems in the world today? What are some of the problems in the world today? War, yeah. War. People shooting at each other. What else?
Greed.
Yeah, people take. And what happens when we're all greedy? Well, if we're greedy, somebody else goes without, don't they? Somebody else lacks and is in poverty. So we have children who are in poverty. Yeah. What else?
Selfishness,
yeah. Greed is sort of a kind of selfishness, isn't it? Yeah? Oh, I'm going to come down. Someone was pointing to somebody. Who was going to say something? Go on. Putin. I haven't got a picture of Putin yet. Just wait. Climate change is a real problem, isn't it? We're messing up this beautiful world that God has given to us, partly because of our greed, but we just mess it up and we pollute the world, don't we? Yeah, absolutely. What else do we do? What else is wrong with the world? Being hurtful. Yeah, being hurtful towards one another. So we get broken relationships, don't we? Relationships are broken and damaged. Yeah. Anything else? North Korea. Yeah, so we've got a government that refuses to allow people to have free speech. They're like a great big fist coming down on the people to shut them up and keep them quiet and oppress them. Yeah. There's another thing that some of us, as we get older, begin to experience. Sickness and pain, yeah. We start to experience sickness and pain. We'll pop the ambulance up there. It's going to take quite a while to arrive, but it's there. And then in the end, the problem is, how are we like the little boy? dead. So we'll bring Mr. Hickmott and his hearse along and we'll put him down there. The world is messed up, good and proper, isn't it? And our lives are messed up as well. Our lives are messed up too. And it becomes a frightening world that seems out of control. And we're anxious in the world. And we're like the little boy in many ways, left on the ground looking like a corpse. And certainly that's where we'll end up one day. But why is the world like this? Why is life like this? Well, it's down to this. It's simply that we have turned our backs together. All of humanity turned our backs on God. We have disobeyed him. We have disobeyed and failed to love each other. And evil has tempted us from out there, and evil tempts us within here. And then to make matters worse, we think that we can sort out all the problems in the world by ourselves. And what happens? Well, we end up arguing about it. Where do we go for when we want to try and sort out the problems of the world? Well, we go to, here you go. Come on. There we are. Told you he was coming up. Well, he's not much help, is he? He just makes matters worse and worse and worse. Or we go to Instagram and TikTok. Well, that's going to sort the world out, isn't it? No, it just makes the world worse. Or we escape into things like drugs and alcohol. None of these things fix the problems. They just lead to arguments about who has the best plan, who's right and who's wrong. But remember the boy. Remember the boy who'd been overpowered, overcome by evil. It was only when his dad turned to Jesus that the boy was freed from the evil and restored. And what we see here is that Jesus is more powerful than all the forces of evil combined. And we see that repeatedly throughout the Gospels. But what we also see here is that Jesus does this in a really surprising way. To defeat the power of evil, of suffering, and of death, Jesus himself has to submit to evil, to suffering, and to death. Jesus has already told his disciples that this is his plan. He's done that twice already. But to them, and probably to some of us, that just seems crazy. So Jesus takes his disciples to one side again, and he says to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again." Now again, remember what happened to the little boy. Everyone looked at him and they thought he was dead. He was just like a corpse. But what does Jesus do? Well, he takes him by the hand and literally he raises him up. And he stands on his feet, alive and well again. He raises him up. And Jesus himself will be given over into the hands of evil people. They really will kill him, put him in the tomb for 3 days, and then he will rise again. That is what he did. God raised Jesus up so that he can raise us up. And it demonstrates that Jesus overcame all the powers of evil. But of course, the disciples still don't understand. And they were afraid to ask Jesus about it. Perhaps this morning you don't understand all this. Why do they keep talking and singing about the death of Jesus? What is that all about? Why do they keep talking about sin and death and life and forgiveness and freedom? I don't understand it. If that is you this morning, please do not be afraid to ask. Don't be like the disciples, afraid to ask. Ask someone. Ask me. Ask Phil. Ask Bill, who read our first reading. Ask Michelle, up here singing. Ask someone, what is this all about? Ask your CY leaders or your SPY leaders or your climbers leaders. But the great news for us today, the great news for us today is that Jesus brings us a better way of living. He starts to free us from the power of evil now, today. You see, when the disciples asked Jesus, who was the greatest? That's what they were arguing about now. Who's the greatest, you or me? Bill or Adolf? Who's the greatest? Or perhaps it's Anton or Suzanne. Who's the greatest? But Jesus says, you got it all wrong. I want to show you a new way of living. If anyone wants to be first, if anyone wants to be the greatest, they must be the very last and the servant of all. So this new way of living that Jesus brings us is what we experience, or we should be beginning to experience, we do begin to experience here in the church family. And what we discover in the church family is that Jesus, in our community, he begins to undo the stuff that is going to be going wrong, because he starts to change us from the inside out. And we start to live and behave differently. It's an ongoing work. It's not yet finished, but one day it will be. And when Jesus returns, life will be completely good. And the victory over sin and death will be full. Well, today, as I say, here at St. Peter's, we're beginning to experience, aren't we, that change within our lives. And it's lovely, isn't it, to see it in other people. Lovely to see it when other people start to grow and develop in the Lord Jesus and overcome their own sins and failings. It's a lovely thing to do. It's a lovely thing to be a part of as we help one another in that process, in that journey, particularly perhaps in our midweek groups. So, there we are. What is Jesus doing? He's freeing us from that overpowering force of evil that is within us and around us. But only he can do that. The politicians never will. In one sense, it doesn't really matter whether it's Rishi Sunak or Liz Truss. Neither of them can free us from the fundamental forces that bind us and control us. Only Jesus can do that. And one day, it'll be complete. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way that Jesus freed that boy and delighted the boy's dad as he cast out an overpowered evil. We pray, Father, that as we turn to Jesus for help in our lives, you would overpower the evil that is within us and the evil that is within our world. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you would soon send the Lord Jesus back to finish that work and demonstrate his full and final victory over all that is evil. We ask this in his name. Amen.